Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this May 26th. It is Memorial Day weekend, and hope you're having a good weekend. Every year at the cemetery, which I live right next door to the cemetery of our church, every year, so many people drive in, place flowers, place flags, remembering those who have gone before us, who've sacrificed for us, or just loved ones who have been our mom, or dad, or spouse, or whatever. And so we remember today as well, and we thank God for all those who have given their life, or others in our life who have meant so much, who are already with Jesus. And we look forward to the day we get to be able to be with them again. So praying for you this wonderful weekend. A couple announcements to begin. One is, the biggest one is, our vacation Bible school starts in 1 week, June 2nd through the 6th. And it'll be 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. every night. Please register your kids right away if you don't have them registered. Tell your neighbors about it. We always love doing VBS here. We have an enormous amount of volunteers that do it. It's from pre-K all the way up to sixth grade. And so if you're interested, register, give a call to the church, whatever, if you need more information. Be glad to help you. We have on June 22nd, we're going to have a zoo day where we're going to go to the Lincoln Zoo from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we'll be there at a particular location. More information to come on that in the next couple weeks. We're going to give you a free train pass to go on the train around there. But it'll be a chance to kind of walk the beautiful zoo there and then also see people from church. So it's a family fun day there at the zoo if you'd like to come. And then the final announcement is, again, we're in our final weeks or so to accept those who are wanting to be baptized at our baptism service here in July. And so if you or your child is one of those who's ready to be baptized, please give me a call this week, send me a text, an email, whatever, and we'll make sure we put it on the list. Wonderful. Well, I hope you have your Bibles there and you're able to turn with me. We're going through the book of James this summer, and we're on James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26 today. It's about faith and works and how these two things go hand in hand. And so if you would turn with me over to James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. And it says this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but then does nothing about their physical condition, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied with action, is dead. Someone might say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons, though, believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? For was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not just the faith. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Faith is so important to the Christian life. We all know that. A sinner is saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. by believing in Jesus Christ as God's Son and our Lord and Savior, who came and died for our sins and rose from the grave, we are saved. We are to walk by faith, the Bible says so many times. 2 Corinthians 5:7 being one. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith means so much to our Christian life. But all James is saying here is that biblical faith is never just something in our head. But true faith reveals itself in our actions too. Biblical faith is not just believing God when he says he's going to send a flood, but biblical faith is then building that ark board by board, year after year, before you even see a drop of rain. Your faith is seen in your actions, building that ark to save your family. Biblical faith is the 90-year-old Abraham and his wife leaving for a new land because God told them to go. It is then believing God will give you a child and as descendants as numerous as the stars, just simply because he told you he would. Biblical faith is trusting God for the things that you can't see yet, but that he said. It's walking across the Red Sea on dry ground and then trusting that he will provide the food and the water and the protection in the wilderness as you travel. Biblical faith is a boy with a slingshot standing before a giant knowing he's going to win because God is with him. Biblical faith is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking into that fiery furnace instead of bowing to an idol. Walking in and saying to that king, our God is able to save us, but even if he does not, we will not bow before your image of gold. Man, that's a living faith. Biblical faith is Jeremiah buying a piece of land as his people are walking out in exile because he knows in whom he has believed that his people will be returning someday, that God has not forsaken them. Biblical faith is stepping out of the boat because Jesus said you could. It is casting the net because he told you to. It is praising God even in the dungeon. It's sitting down next to a Gentile if you're a Jew and loving them like a brother now because they are in Christ. This is what James is saying. He isn't saying that we are saved by our works. He isn't going against Scripture. He is simply saying you should be able to see a person's faith. If it is a living faith, it is seen. They shouldn't have to tell you that they are a Christian. You should be able to see the evidence of the fact, Christ in them, the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God, the love of neighbor. Faith is not just a mental thing or a feeling. It's not just a decision you made long ago when you were 7 but have never thought about God since. No, real faith is seen in our daily life as we get up and we trust in the Lord with all our heart. It is desiring to know him more and more in the reading of his word and acting upon it. It is living differently. It is seeking the Lord first. It is dying to ourself daily. It is hoping in him. It is praying to him. It is love. It's not perfection. Just look again at these stories of Noah and Abraham, Moses and the Israelites, David and Peter and Paul, and be comforted that all of them sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Even mixed in with their good, they were still stumbling along the way, even in big ways. We know that. We still struggle. The faith that James is talking about is not perfection, but it is visible. Is your faith visible to the stranger, to your family, to your friends? Can they see that Jesus matters to you and that you love him and that you believe in him? Can they see that you're living for him and not just yourself? Faith, if it is true and a living faith, will not be hidden. It'll be seen. Jesus said the same thing as James. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 15 to 20, Jesus said, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Jesus said, "Every good tree will bear good fruit, but a bad tree will bear bad fruit." He went on to say in Matthew 7, 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven." He's saying there are people out there who are kind of pretending. They say the right words, but they've not truly let me and the truth of God in their heart. Again, you can't take a verse out of context. Jesus, like James, is not talking about being saved by our works. That would be the law again, and we know that none of us can be made righteous or justified by the law. But the scripture is clear over and over again of the good news that a righteousness apart from the law has been made known to us, a righteousness that does come through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did. We are saved by grace through faith. That is true. But all that Jesus is saying and all that James is saying here in our scripture is that our faith in him is going to be seen in our life. Not in perfection. But if Christ is truly in you, then there's going to be love inside of you. There's going to be humility to you. There's going to be fruit there. You're going to feel conviction when you're sinning and not doing the right thing because the Holy Spirit is there. You're going to sense His Spirit guiding you and leading you and speaking to you. You're going to see faith in a person's life if their desire to know Him and what God wants and what He wants them to do in their decisions. It's not just going to be words. It's going to be actions. James says here in verse 17, faith by itself, if not accompanied with actions, is dead. That word itself, faith by itself, some translations have alone. Faith alone, if not accompanied by action, is dead faith. It's useless, he goes on to say. It's not going to help you. James says, you believe there's a God, great, but even the demons believe there's a God, and over half our country and world claims to, but do you believe in Jesus? Really trust him with your salvation, your sin, your eternal life, your day-to-day? Do you trust him now with what is happening in your life today? Will you trust him with it? You know, do you obey him? Do you love him? Do you worship him? There's a difference, you see. It's one thing to mark on our sheet or our survey that we're a Christian. It's another thing to truly live like one. And all we, you know, all of us, I think, in our life, we can experience some of this tension. You know, I really do believe I have a living faith. I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I desire to walk with him. I put it into practice a lot, but I fall short a lot. Of course I do. I still struggle. At times I don't put that faith into practice. For example, I think about the times, you know, of peace in my heart, at times when I'm scared or troubled or worrying a lot about family or church or how something's going to go with my kids or whatever, I can wonder, where is this peace that God has promised? Why can't I find it? I don't feel any peace right now, God. I feel anxious. Well, Often God will teach me in those moments. He will show me I got to put my faith now into practice. You know, it's one thing to say it. It's one thing to pray, but then not really surrender that situation, not really trust Him, not really exercise my faith in Christ. But still getting up from that prayer, thinking it's all up to me, or still doubting instantly when things begin to go wrong. I think we all can have moments in our life with where our faith is, we're not exercising it, we're not putting it into action. God is calling us here to let it be living. Faith demands something of us. If I don't realize that, I begin to wonder why I don't have the joy of the Lord. Why I don't know Him more or feel close to God right now. Well, it's because you got to exercise your faith for that fruit. You have to do the work of faith. You have to take the time to be in His Word each day to find that peace. You have to believe what you have read and let it change you. And begin to reprioritize your schedule. Repent and obey so that Jesus is the most important thing in your life. You may have to make the tough decisions to leave this way of doing things and to do things His way. If not, that's the reason you still struggle. Faith, if not accompanied with action, is of no good. It's dead. You have to believe it. You have to act upon it. There are three examples that James gives here for real faith put into action. The first example I mention here is in our scripture is Rahab. I love that Rahab is mentioned by James, for her story is one of redemption. Rahab's story is found in Joshua chapters 2 through 6. God told the Israelites to send a couple spies into the promised land to check it out, for God was going to give the people this land. And the city of Jericho was their first challenge. And it had a strong fortress. It was a mighty city, and God's people were outnumbered by the soldiers in Jericho. So two spies went in to check out the land, and somehow word got around that they were there. And so the soldiers of Jericho were all sent out in search for these spies. Well, they hid and found refuge at a home of a prostitute named Rahab, the most unlikely place for God's people. When the soldiers came knocking on all the doors for these two, Rahab hid them. She was not an Israelite. She was from Jericho. But she helped them. Why would she hide them, putting her own life in danger to protect them? Well, she tells us the reason in Joshua 2, 9 through 11. In this great speech that she gives, she says, "I know the Lord has given you our land. For we all have heard the stories of how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea, and we have heard what He has done, helping you in battle overcome tribes far greater in number than yourself. And I see that the Lord your God is God." Rahab had faith, and she wasn't even an Israelite. She believed in what she had heard about God. And she knew Israel was right across the Jordan River. She knew that God was real and that God was going to give them this land. Her faith was not in herself, her people, her army, their gods in Jericho, or even this great fortress around Jericho. She knew that if God was for them, nothing was going to stop them. If God parted the seas for them, their wall would not stand. So she put her faith in the God of Israel. She hid the spies and then told them to save her and her family. She put her faith into action. And the spies said, hang this scarlet cloth out your window, and when we enter this land, we will see it and not harm anyone inside. And so her home became a refuge for anyone who would believe. Almost like Passover, with the lamb's blood on the doorposts, Rahab, you know, was showing her faith in God by that purple cloth. And she went and got all her family and friends who would believe in her, and they went into her home, kind of like the ark. And when God's people marched around the walls and those walls fell and they took the city, her and her whole family was saved because of her faith. And if you keep reading on in the Old Testament, you discover that Rahab didn't continue to be a prostitute anymore. God gave her a husband and a family of her own. This was a whole new beginning for her. She became the mother of Boaz, who would marry another non-Jew, Ruth, who would go on to become the grandmother of King David. And both Rahab and Ruth are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. From their line would come the Christ. Man, God redeemed both of their stories. God blessed both of their lives, all because of their faith. And James uses Rahab as an example. Now, back in the day James wrote this, there were Jewish people in the church known as the Judaizers. And these people were Jews who claimed to believe in Jesus, but they only did halfway. For they taught believing in Jesus was fine, but a person also had to become Jewish and practice all of these laws and be circumcised in order to really be saved. For them, it was Jesus plus the law you needed. And this was a false gospel. For we are saved by faith in Christ alone. And so I want to be really clear here that James is not saying faith in Jesus plus works. He is saying that faith in Jesus will reveal itself in good works. There's a great big difference. He is saying, show me a faith like Rahab, who trusted God to save her and her family. For if God had not come through, she and her whole family would have been killed for being traitors. But she believed fully in God, that he was the real God. And so she hid the spies, and she hung her purple cloth outside her window, and she went and gathered her family and brought them inside her home. That is a living faith that saved them. James is talking about a different kind of works than the Judaizers. He's talking about a faith like Rahab. Which leads me to the second example that James uses for faith, and that is Abraham. Abraham's story of faith begins in Genesis 12, and it is also a good story and very relatable because Abraham wasn't perfect. In fact, he learned how to trust in God throughout his long life. He didn't get it right away. God comes to him and tells him to leave his land and go to a land that he will show him, and Abraham goes. He leaves by faith, not knowing where he's going, but trusting that God's going to lead him. But very quickly along the way, scary things come up, like famine. And Abraham leaves the land that he was supposed to go to, and he runs off to Egypt for food, and he finds himself in trouble. Instead of trusting in God to provide, he takes matters into his own hands. And while in Egypt, he feels threatened again. And so he throws his wife under the bus, basically. He puts her in danger, lying about who she was. In fact, he does that twice. But God was faithful. He stays with Abraham. And when God tells Abraham he's going to have a child in his old age, Abraham believes him at first. But again, when it takes a long time, he begins to worry whether God's going to come through. He and Sarah again then take matters into their own hands. And Abraham sleeps with his maidservant, and things only get worse. Abraham's story is not perfection. It's like ours. It's real. It's broken. It's growing and learning how to walk and trust in God. And we don't always get it right away, you know? But James brings up Abraham here as an example of faith because in the end, Abraham finally comes to a point of fully trusting in God, a place of surrender. He's learned over his long years that God is faithful and God is good. And so when Abraham's son Isaac is about 12 years old, God comes to him and tells him to take his son, his only son whom he loves, and sacrifice him on the altar. It tells us in Genesis 22 that Abraham immediately obeyed. The very next morning, he packs up his stuff. He takes his son Isaac and a couple servants with him, and he heads for Mount Moriah. And when he gets there, at the very base of the mountain, he loads on the back of his son Isaac the wood for the sacrifice, and he leaves his servants behind, and he says to them in Genesis 22:5, a very important verse. He says, "Stay here while me and the boy go up. We will worship, and we will come back to you." He says, "We." Abraham said, "We will come back to you, my son and I." This is faith. Abraham believed the Lord. He knew him, trusted him. And so when God asked him to do the impossible, the unthinkable, Abraham was willing and trusting into action because he knew God. He knew God's character and that God would provide a way somehow and that both of them would be returning down that mountain. That is what Abraham tells his son Isaac when Isaac asks this very question. He says, "Dad, where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" Isaac doesn't realize he's the lamb, but Abraham says, "The Lord will provide it." Talk about faith. A faith like Noah, building an ark before there's a drop of rain. Abraham walked up that mountain with his son, willing to go all the way if God would ask. Trusting that God was somehow going to provide because Abraham believed in God's promises that his son was going to be his heir and the future to a people that would forever bless the Lord. He knew God was going to fulfill this promise somehow. So there must be something he doesn't see yet. And sure enough, just as Abraham took out the knife to slay his son, God stopped him. The angel spoke to him, said, "Don't harm the boy. Now I see you're willing to go wherever I send you." And Abraham looked, and a ram was over in the thicket. The Lord had provided. So he untied his son, sacrificed the lamb, and both him and his son walked down that mountain together. That's faith. How far are you willing to trust God? Will you obey when he asks of you something that makes no sense to you or is of great cost to you? James is saying, look at our father Abraham and his faith seen in his willingness to walk up that mountain, holding nothing back, willing to lay everything down his whole life, not leaning on his own understanding, but in all his ways acknowledging him, knowing he'll direct the paths. Do we have that kind of faith? Can we at least pray for that? A faith that will go with God wherever he sends, lay down whatever he asks for, only to see the amazing promises of God fulfilled in our life. Some of you might be saying, "Well, I would never sacrifice my kid for God." Well, you're missing the point. God won't ask you to kill your kid. But what if he tells you something like, "Quit your job," or, you know, "Give up your home, speak up for me in this setting," or "Trust me with your family and what I'm doing"? What if God asks you to fully surrender, to completely let go, to trust that he is with you and that he's going to provide? Will you go all the way with him? Will you say, "This is no longer my life. I fully lay it down for you, Lord. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give"? That's a living faith. Which leads me to the final example James gives. And that's one of love. He says, "Suppose a brother or sister is hungry and in need, and you tell them, 'Go in peace, I wish you well,' but do nothing about their condition, even though you got food to help. Is that really love?" James refers to a faith that expresses itself in real love. He spoke in chapter 1 about religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to take care of orphans and widows in their distress. He spoke in the last chapter we'd had there about caring for the poor. James seems to bring up the poor and the hungry a lot. There must have been a real need in that day. James is saying that our faith in Christ should affect the way we spend our money and take care of those who are in need around us. You see, love is only love when we do something. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. His love moved him to act sacrificially for us. Jesus laid down his life for us on a cross. It revealed God's true love. So too, we must learn how to truly love one another by action and not just word or good feeling. This is one real practical way that we're supposed to express our living faith in Christ in our life. Sacrificial love to others. It's in giving, caring, showing up even when we're tired, taking time for somebody, sacrificing some of what we got for others in need who don't have, being kind and compassionate. I mean, who can you love today with more than your words? Who can you give to? Who's hungry? Who's thirsty? Who's lonely or needing family or a friend? What does it look like for you to put yourself aside and put their needs above your own? What does it look like for you to truly love your mom or your dad or your sister or brother or spouse or child or neighbor or even enemy? How can you show your living faith in Christ by expressing love to someone today? Honestly, think about that. What can you do to show Christ's love today or this week? Just like with your faith, you got to be intentional about taking the steps, moving from mind and heart to actual hand and bank account and sweat and sacrifices. Don't just speak it, live it. Actually get out of the boat, push yourself. Face your fear. Get past complacency or procrastination. Get up off of the couch. I'm preaching to myself here. So do something. Just decide to do it. Be that person that doesn't just promise, but actually delivers. Actually make that phone call. Drive over to that person. Forgive that offense. Put their needs above your own wants. What can you do to show love today? What can you do to show your faith in Christ today? Faith is revealed in our life in obedience, like fruit on a tree. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit, fruit that will last. So let us pray for the faith of Rahab and Abraham and a love like Jesus to be really alive in us today. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.